We've missed a good deal of the old speakers because they've been too old or unable to be recorded with us. But now, happily, we have this machine and we'll be able to get not only the old stories which we've been collecting by hand and that kind of thing, but also the very valuable record of Manx speech, not only Manx language, but Manx dialect. So on behalf of the trustees, I think we must express our very great gratitude to Mr. Cubbon for giving us this very useful tool in helping us in our future work. I think we're also very happy to know that Mr. Cubbon is going to help another Mr. Cubbon, a very famous director of the Manx Museum, who still continues more or less undiminished in his enthusiasm about Manx things, and who has a new book on the way. I'm sure the directors and the Manx public generally are very grateful to Mr. Cubbon for his public-spirited help in both these directions. I think we ought now to invite Mr. Cubbon to christen the machine by recording a suitable message to remind us of this day. Mr. Cubbon, I'd like to.
Mr. Chairman and gentlemen, it gives me very great pleasure to hand this machine over to the Manx Museum, and I know that your intention is to use it for making records of famous Manx people and also the Manx language and of Manx folk songs. And I am sure that in the future the records that you will have taken on this machine will be of great interest to those people who follow after us. I am sure that in giving this machine to the Manx Museum, I am only carrying out what my late uncles would have wished me to do, because they took a great interest in the museum and in everything connected with this island. And so, gentlemen, I have very great pleasure in handing it over to your care with the wish that you will use it to the good of the island and the benefit of our people.
It gives me more than ordinary pleasure to be here today and to have the privilege of dedicating the foundation stone of the Thomas Cubbon Memorial Wing. I was on terms of friendship with the different members of the Cubbon family. I have enduring memories of John Henry Cubbon, with whom I spent some happy holidays. Thomas Cubbon, in whose memory this block is being built, was a man of massive integrity and, in my opinion, one of the greatest Manxmen of his generation. I often had talks with him, during which he displayed a heart sensitive to the needs of all hurt things. It seems to me that the greatest enemy of human happiness today is fear. The fear of insecurity, the fear of disease. It is such things that rob so many of their heritage of a tranquil life. But there is a fear peculiar to the aged and stricken, the fear that assails the human heart, which contemplates a future in which for it there is no room, no secure shelter or care. It was of such people that Thomas Cubbon often thought. his sympathetic heart could not bear to think of their distress. And so his mind moved in the direction of some permanent shelter. The sympathies of James Cubbon were also turned in the same direction. And today, the Reverend F.M. Cubbon, a friend of many years standing, is here to translate those sympathies into practical effect by laying the foundation stone of a building in which, please God, many shall find heart's keys.
The Tynwald held on the 5th of July, 1950, was the occasion of an innovation. For the first time, the meaning of the proceedings, the business that was being transacted, and the persons taking part of it were indicated by a local broadcast given by Mr. David Lay, the Assistant Attorney General, and at a later stage by Mr. Ramsay Moore. The following record contains the report of the two statements given by Mr. Moore, the first part when the procession was forming in the church and coming down to go to the mound, the second part when the governor and the members of the Inchula legislature had taken their seats on the hill and the ceremony was delayed until the members of the congregation had also taken their seats. The religious portion of the ceremony of Tynwald has now concluded, and the court will proceed to the hill to carry out its civil functions. These consist of the proclamation of the king's assent to the laws made during the preceding year, and the swearing-in of the six coroners of the sheadings. The procession will leave the church in reverse order, and will open up to allow the lieutenant governor and the officers in person attendance to pass through, and the governor will mount the hill first, followed by the legislative council, which is the upper house, and the keys, which is the Manx House of Commons. This is a very old ceremony, with an historic record of 1,000 years, but its origin is lost in the mists of the ages. The date is significant, for the 5th of July is Old Midsummer Day, before the Reformed calendar brought about a change. And on that date, the Druids held one of their three high festivals in honor of the sun, which was, of course, the eye of the god. Great assemblages of worshippers gathered round the sacred mound in a central place when the Druids conducted their worship, founded the laws of their religion, and tried and executed their criminals. When in the 5th century Christianity superseded Druidism, the old gathering of the clans would be continued on a corresponding date, which happened to be the Feast of St. John. Accordingly, he became the patron saint of Tynwald. You will probably already notice that the members of Tynwald wear the St. John's wort, known in the Manx language as the Bollen Bane, the white bollen, or the Bollen Fulloin. Stepping again over the centuries until the 10th century, when the Isle of Man was conquered by the Vikings from Norway, they adopted the old Midsummer festival, much the same purposes, and it has been continued down to the present day. Will you look at the hill for a moment, for it is interesting. It is built in four tiers, and according to tradition, is formed out of soil taken from all the 17 parishes of the island. The court is composed of the king, lord and governor of Man, and in his absence, his representative, the Lieutenant Governor. the Legislative Council, consisting of the Lord Bishop of Sodermann, the only remaining baron, the two deemsters, or lawmen, in whose breast reposed the knowledge of the old common law of the island, the Attorney General, the Receiver General, four members elected by the Keys, and two persons nominated by the governor. These occupy the top tier of the hill. On the second tier are the 24 members of the Keys, headed by their speaker. These were the men of goods, and were chosen by co-optation, and held office for life, until they became an elected body in 1865. You will be interested to know that women were eligible for election since 1919, but only one has ever held a seat, and there are no women in the House today. The next tier is occupied by the High Bailiff or Chief Magistrate, the Vicar General, the heads of the local authorities, the clergy and Free Church ministers, while on the fourth stand the captains of the 17 parishes. I would like to call your attention to the fact that the governor is preceded by his sword bearer, carrying the ancient sword of man. It is believed to date from the 13th century and has the national coat of arms, the three legs of man, or as we call it in our language, the tricashion, on pommel Andrew Castle. According to custom, this sword is borne with the point upwards until placed before the governor during the business on the hill. During the remainder of the year, the sword of state is housed at the Manx Museum and can be examined in detail there. You will probably have noticed that the pathway is strewn with rushes. According to tradition, this is to drive away evil spirits, though it also serves the function of providing covering for the feet of members before the days of cement and tarmac. I'm sure we all hope that it may be as effective today as of old in driving away all evil spirits. I will now indicate to you the various officials as they appear in the procession. Lieutenant Governor had taken his seat on Tingle Hill. The sword bearer had placed his sword before him. The members of the council and of the Keys had occupied their seat, and the congregation from the church was filing into their places. Mr. Moore continued. May it please your excellency. Tynwald, over which you are now presiding, is founded on four cardinal principles. In the first place, we assert that we are a Christian people, and you have rendered worship and offered your thanksgiving and prayers in the chapel of St. John's, and sought the blessing of Almighty God on the work of the insular Parliament. In the second place, we assert that the Isle of Man is an ancient and independent kingdom, with its own government, making its own law, levying and spending its own taxation. In the third place, we declare with pride and pleasure that we form part of the Committee of Free Nations which constitute the British Empire, and render allegiance to His Most Gracious Majesty the King, without whose assent no new laws may be made. Fourth place, we recognize that the people have the right to know the laws by which they are governed. The court will be opened by the coroner of Glenfaber Sheeding, fencing the court in the name of the king, and charging the people to behave themselves inside the king's court. This is a modern variation of an ancient ceremony. In olden days, the court was fenced by the soldiers marching round an area some distance from the foot of the hill and calling out that they fenced the court in the name of the king. Inside this fenced court, it was high treason
to as much as lift a weapon, and any person disturbing the proceedings was liable to drastic punishment. Indeed, a case is on record where a man's ears were ordered to be cut off for such an offence. The king, or in his absence, the lieutenant governor, takes his seat in a chair described in the year 1417 as covered with a royal cloak and cushions, and his visage into the east. Surely a further indication of the original sun worship of the ceremony. The first business of the court is to swear in the coroners of the six sheadings, or ship districts of the island. To secure complete impartiality, the coroners hold office for 1 year only, and at the Tynwald they surrender their staffs, and when reappointed or new coroners appointed, they take the oath in ancient form, which includes, among other things, a reference to the wonderful work which God miraculously wrought in heaven above and earth beneath, in 6 days and 7 nights. This being completed, the laws which were passed during the preceding year are then summarized in Manx and English by the first Deemstone Clerk of the Rolls, and the Vicar of Kirkmickle and announces them in Manx. The royal assent to those acts is then proclaimed. This was the ancient form of promulgating new laws and bringing them into operation. In olden days, the Lord also administered justice at Tynwald. The Brest laws were recited, and in this way kept in the public mind. Before the days of newspapers, Manxmen only knew the laws that governed them by the recital of such laws on Tynwald Hill. The name Tynwald is derived from two Norse words, Thing Valja, or Parliament Field. Of similar origin is the Althing of Iceland and Tingwall of the Shetlands. The lordship of man was vested in Sir John Stanley, the founder of the House of Derby, and his descendants until repurchased by the English crown in the year 1765. No English monarch ever attended Tynwald until his present majesty and his gracious queen attended and presided in person at the Tynwald held in the year 1945. The occasion is believed to be unique, as it is the only one on record in which the king presided in person and conducted the business of a sitting of any of the parliaments of his dominions.